And welcome to The Name Game. This is Bob Zanotti. Today we are once again in Switzerland's largest canton, the canton of Graubünden in southeastern Switzerland. And you might hear in the background the sound of a machine. That is a ski lift, very appropriate for the location we are in. Well, today we are in a place which will be not too challenging if you're very careful and very attentive and maybe have a map of Switzerland along with you. It's going to be a little complicated, more complicated than usual, because there are actually three possible answers to the name game today. But before I tell you all about it, I want to welcome Thomas Vilars, who is a mountain guide and a ski instructor in our mystery location. But you're not a native of Graubünden. You came originally from Biel in Canton Bern, is that right?
Yeah, hi Bob. Yeah, that's true. I'm living here in one of those three villages for 13 years now. But
You're almost a native now.
I'm almost a native now, and I'm well accepted amongst those people here in the area. That's right.
How are the people here?
I'd say they're very friendly. They're very open. Although usually you say that the people who live in the mountain, they're a little bit narrow-minded, but that's not true at all for mm-hmm. this area here. Very positive-thinking people and very open to all foreign guests.
Does that possibly have to do with the fact that they have an opening to the south, that they have a Latin influence, that they were settled originally and colonized by Roman people?
Yeah, I'd say so. That might have a big influence. You can feel there's some southern blood.
That temperament.
Exactly, that's true. I'd agree to that.
Now, let's start by geographically describing where we are a little bit better. Where we're standing right now, we're in the middle, the second of the, like a chain of three villages that work together that are part of an area called Surselva. Now, Surselva is a plateau, we could say, which is in between the Rhine River. People don't realize the Rhine River begins in Switzerland, right in Canton Graubünden is where
that's
it begins.
True. Yeah, that's right.
In fact, it's so clean in many mm-hmm. places you can just drink it.
Exactly.
I wouldn't want to do that where it enters the North Sea.
Yeah, that's right.
No,
yeah,
no way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, we are on a plateau between the Rhine River on the east of us, or the southeast, and a glacier on the northwest. What's the name of that glacier?
It's called the Forarp Glacier.
Forarp,
yeah. It goes up to 3,000 meters above sea level. Mm-hmm. And a couple of years ago, they used to do summer skiing up there, but nowadays we don't do that anymore. But still, it's a very nice place to be. Mm-hmm. There are some other surrounding mountains here. The highest mountain of this area here, of the Surselva Valley, is called Tödi, which is 3,600 meters high.
Now, that's T-O-Umlaut-D-I, right?
That's right. That's correct. Yeah.
The Tödi. Okay. Now, I came today by train from Bern to the cantonal capital, the capital of Graubünden, which is Chur, C-H-U-R. From there, there is no rail line here. It's a very good road. You can drive up with no problem in your own car, and there's lots of parking. It's not a problem. But I came by postal bus. If you come by public transport, you come by train. That's the classic way, the quickest way. Train to Chur, and then I change to the postal bus. And then about 20 kilometers southwest of Chur, you come to the first of the three resorts which are in this area, the Surselva. And I can't mention the name, of course. And then you come to the second one, which is where we are right now. And then the third one is farther down, the last one in the line. Now, I'm going to give a clue here, which would be very helpful. And that is the place we are located, right, the second one, right in the middle of this chain of three, is a very short name, which begins with L. And it sounds like, anyway, the German or Yiddish word for salmon. The fish. Okay, so much to the geography. Tell us a little bit about the history. We talked about the Romans a moment ago, and indeed, I think the Roman settlements go back to 1500 before Christ. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct. That's right. And in the third of those three villages, we got a very old church, which is up there. And it used to be a very well-known place for traditional festivities already a couple of thousand years ago.
Now, also something very interesting is the language. You'll hear German or Swiss German, the Graubünden dialect here, and then you'll also hear Romansch, which is Switzerland's fourth national language. How many people around this particular region, the Surselva, still speak Romansch?
Romansch is actually spoken in the whole area of the Surselva. It's still very common. kids, they learn it already in the kindergarten, and adults, of course, they still use it. It's one of the main languages here, and it's still in a big use.
Coming up on the postal bus, it was a very friendly driver, and I asked him in Swiss German if he could tell me when to get off and where I had to go, and then he answered me with, you know, perfect fluent Swiss German, and then turned around to another guest who was getting on the bus and spoke to him in Romansh. So that's the way things are done here, right? The people go from one to the other, and you're never quite sure, because they're such good linguists, so what their mother tongue is, really.
That's right. Although I would say, like, the resort where we are now, the village we are now, is traditionally Romansh speaking, and the first of those three resorts is more changing into Swiss German or the Graubünden dialect of German now, yeah.
Like so many places in Graubünden, I'm sure, German, French, Italian is very important, Romansh or English, no problem here at all.
That's no problem at all. And of course, we've had a long tradition of tourism here in this area. So, of course, we speak all of those languages.
We want to get into that tradition in a moment, but first something geologically historical, and that is that I understand this whole area was created by a massive mountain slide. A whole huge piece of a mountain that used to be here fell into wherever it went, I don't know, broke open this whole area, and apparently it was the biggest occurrence of this known in Europe.
That's absolutely correct, yeah. It was when the glaciers, they retrieved. Here, a whole mountain side slided down towards the valley. Mm-hmm. And you can
towards the Rhine, I guess, right?
Actually, towards the Rhine, that's correct, yeah. The Rhine got closed off, and he had to cut his way once again through the remains of that massive landslide. And yeah, we get a very spectacular nature down there where the river's flowing now.
And I think of lakes that apparently were formed as a result of this blockage. The water had to find a way to get through. And you do have beautiful lakes in this area, which means swimming must be one of the attractions here too.
Swimming is a very important sport in summertime, that's correct. We got a very beautiful lake. It's called the Kaumasee in the summertime. It's in the middle of a huge forest, a very dense, still natural forest. And it's a beautiful place to swim in the summer. It is a little island in the middle of the lake. And the lake has got crystal clear water. It's a really spectacular thing to do. A nice place to be.
And this gigantic slide that we've been talking about also, I believe, helped to contribute to the formation of what is called Switzerland's Grand Canyon.
Well, actually, once you're in this first village, you just have a nice little stroll through that forest I just mentioned, and all of a sudden you'll see there's a huge drop just in front of you, and you'll be able to see the River Rhine, and it's a spectacular view. It's definitely something you have to see.
I know you have paths, trails, walking, hiking trails in every direction. I mean, you can spend forever going around here.
Well, nowadays, of course, we got a lot more possibilities when it comes to summer sports. Hiking or walking is one of the traditional ones. We got huge possibilities for mountain biking. We got mountain bike trails all over our area. And we also got another speciality, that's the downhill biking. We got
Sounds like you just sit on a bike and go straight down.
Yeah, go for it. That's right.
And being a mountain guide, I mean, obviously, there must be lots of beautiful climbing around here, too. Can people actually learn the fundamentals of climbing, or do you have to know the basics before you come?
No, people can come here and they can learn the basics. We got a very beautiful area where we can learn how to rock climb. It's a beautiful place in summer. It's very spectacular because we stay almost at 2,600 meters above sea level, and we get just a splendid view of the whole area. And there's a beautiful place, well equipped. So when people come here, they get all their equipment, and of course they get a very professional mountain guide who will get them into the sports of rock climbing here in our resort.
Ballooning. There's a big ballooning tradition around this area too.
That's true. We got the balloon weeks, which take place in autumn, in September and October. And there will be the 30th balloon week this year, I think. And this is a very, very attractive thing to see, all those balloons at nighttime. And, of course, during the day, in the special light of the autumn, it's a spectacular thing you have to see. Yeah.
One thing I noticed in the literature that you can actually, if you want something very quiet and traditional, you can even spend your vacation on a farm here.
Yeah, that's true. It's become more and more popular to visit farms in summer now. And of course, we got that possibility here too. It's very nice to see, actually, to live in a farmhouse or just sleep overnight there in the hay. It's a beautiful experience, and of course you can visit the farmers, see how they live and actually what they're doing up here in the mountains.
Skiing, of course, in the winter time is number one, and we want to go into the ski school, which is right here. We're in an open area. This is not certainly a glitter resort at all. This is primarily a place for skiers. There's a big hotel here, but also a lot of buses bringing skiers, and the run that I see in front of me here, what I would describe as an intermediate, a pleasant, easygoing run. Is that correct?
That's correct. But we got here what we call a slope system in the wintertime. So actually, we do not make a difference between blue, red and black runs. But we go more into like what the people are like to do. So we got blue runs for we got beginner areas, which are specially designed for our beginners. And then we got green runs. That means they are for all-round skiers or snowboarders who like to carve probably. Uh-huh. Then we got red areas. That means areas which are specially made for freestyle skiers and snowboarders. We got jump parks. We got half pipes.
You keep them separated, so there's no hassle, no problem.
Exactly. That's what we're doing with this slope system. We get the people to those places where they find their special like amenities, like, of course, the freestyles. They find their half pipe or other people find some special backcountry areas which are marked yellow. So that means they know where to go, and they don't disturb, for example, the beginners who are learning to ski or to snowboard.
And for those into water, not the Rhine, but there's a old thermal tradition in Graubünden. You have a tradition of producing a lot of the country's best-known mineral waters around here. And also the spa tradition is very healthy, thermal spas coming out of the ground. And I guess the wellness theme is becoming more and more important these days. People want to combine a visit to the mountains, the air, the alpine air, with the thermal tradition. You can do that all from here as well.
That's right, Bob. We got a place nearby, which is called Vals, and they just got a new thermal bath 3 years ago now. It was built by a very famous architect from this area here. It's called Peter Zumthor. Mm-hmm. And I'd say this is a unique experience. You definitely have to go there and visit. It's a beautiful place, and the thermal bath is made of that stone right from the area. And it's a really special thing to experience.
Well, right now it's winter, and winter means skiing or snowboarding. Let's go into the ski school here, and we're going to have a quick chat with Romana Gerber to find out more about it. Romana, if somebody wants to learn to ski here, what kind of courses do you offer to people? People, let's say, who've never skied before, right? Real beginners, what can they do?
Real beginners, you have a special package. You can rent the ski equipment. You have the course and the ski ticket included. Mm-hmm. Yes, this is our special package. Mm-hmm. And you can do it in a private lesson or in a group.
Let's say after 3 or 4 days, yeah, with private lessons, what kind of a skier are you?
Yeah, I would say intermediate.
And Thomas, that means you could handle yourself under any conditions.
Yeah, probably you could have you could enjoy yourself on the blue and maybe some of those greens runs I just mentioned before.
Renata Gerber, thank you very much. Thomas, we have to go outside again because we have to say goodbye on this edition of the Name Game. But I just want to review a couple of clues. We're about 20 kilometers southwest of the capital city of Graubünden, which is Chur. We are in a plateau, or on a plateau, which is nestled between the Rhine River on the southeast and a glacier on the northwest. There are three villages that are part of a chain which constitute a sort of cooperative resort system here. And the one in the middle, where we're standing in right now, just as a reminder, it sounds very similar to the German or Yiddish word for salmon and the kind you eat bagels with. And it's very short, and actually I understand it comes from the Romanche meaning lakes originally. But I can't give you any more of that. Thomas Willers, our mountain climber, our ski teacher, thank you very much for taking part in the Name Game. This is Bob Zanotti. Thank you for being with us, and good luck playing the Name Game.